My guest at this time is Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan. He represents the Buckeye State's 4th Congressional District, and he's also chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. Earlier this week, Jordan was one of 75 House Republicans and 85 total House members who opposed the continuing resolution to keep the government funded until December 9th. He joins me now to discuss the bill, which has not received a lot of attention in the midst of an active presidential campaign. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet, Greg. Good to be with you today.
One of the things Republican leaders promised once the GOP had majorities on both sides of Capitol Hill was regular order. In other words, taking the spending bills one at a time, running them through committee, marking them up, voting them out of committee, onto the floor, and then passing them on to the Senate, which is often said would help to trim federal spending just by going through that process. So why isn't that happening?
Well, great point. We had to sort of break down the whole appropriation process, but primarily it's not happening because the Senate, Harry Reid, won't let the individual bills come up for a vote. That's the way it's supposed to work. And frankly, if we could get the, our troops funded, our military funded at the right level, get that bill off the, taken care of early, then I think we could go after some of the ridiculous spending and some of the ridiculous regulation that's in, it's in the federal government. But Harry Reid, he's been able to win every fight by just saying, look, I'm going to hold up defense spending until you give me the kind of spending I want on domestic issues as well. And what that means is taxpayers get the short end. I think, frankly, our military gets the short end of that deal, too. And it's just not good for the country.
Why did you ultimately vote against this continuing resolution?
Spends money at the level that John Boehner and Barack Obama agreed to before Speaker Boehner left office. A dollar amount that the vast majority of Republicans were opposed to when it passed last year, but the amount that we just think when you got a $20 trillion debt, you got to try to get a handle on the spending, and here we are increasing it in at a time when the deficit went up this year. So when you put all that together, it's like, really, we're just gonna go ahead and spend at that level. We felt it didn't make sense, and that's why we were against the earlier budget proposal back in the spring of this year as well.
Is there anything that could have been added or subtracted to win your vote, or was your vote in large part in opposition to the process too?
It's the process. It's the amount. But if you're actually going to win on some important policy, then you weigh that and factor that in as well. So if we were going to have a chance to, for example, just 2 weeks ago, the president announced he was going to up the number of refugees coming into the country. We had a bill that passed a year ago, which was a good bill that every Republican in the House supported and 47 Democrats supported. And it said, we're going to make sure we properly vet and screen any refugees before they get in the country. When that bill passed, with 47 Democrats supporting it, the president said he would veto it. Harry Reid filibustered it, and we never actually took that bill up. If that kind of issue was put on this spending bill, then maybe you would see conservatives support it. So that was an issue we pushed early. There was also the issue that if we could actually clean up this process and get away from this shutdown, showdown scenario we get into all the time. So Mr. Meadows and I offered an amendment which said there sort of kicks in if, in fact, you don't reach an agreement on a spending measure by the deadline date. So those were a couple of amendments that we thought made sense. If those were to win in, I think you'd have seen more conservative support the bill. But when you factor all those things in, it just, I think, not good for the country, not good for the taxpayer.
What do you expect to happen in December when this bill runs out and you have to pass a new one?
Well, I mean, we got history to look at that. First of all, the other major concern with this thing was we're kicking a big spending measure into a lame duck session. A lame duck session when a number of members will no longer be accountable to the voters. The voters will just have spoken, just elected, just picked a new Congress for the upcoming year. And yet they're going to be going back and dealing with billions of dollars of spending. So that's a problem in and of itself. But look at the history. You got just sort of the principal problem. Do you really want unaccountable people who are no longer accountable to the voters making decisions about billions of dollars? You have that fundamental issue coupled with the issue that in the last 5 years, we have seen what happens in lame duck sessions. We have seen what happens right before the holidays. You get tax increases, you get omnibus, big spending measures, and it never works out good for the families and taxpayers of this country, in my judgment.
Congressman, there are 246 Republicans in the House, 75, you among them, voted against it, excuse me, which means about 70% voted for it. Was that mainly about avoiding a shutdown and not being a political issue heading into the elections, or are 70% of Republicans okay with this?
I think it's probably more the former. I mean, some are okay with it, with the spending level and everything else. But some, it was also, I think, a concern about a shutdown scenario here 5 weeks before presidential election. But that's why I say you have to pick an issue that the American people feel so strongly about and have to fight on that, because Harry Reid wants to shut down the government all the time, and yet and he wants to do it and say, oh, it's the Republicans' fault. So think about the issue just a couple years ago, just last year, where we said, we want to fund the government at the level everyone's agreed to, but we don't think an organization like Planned Parenthood should be getting your money after those videos came out and we saw what disgusting things they were up to. Now, that to me is a pretty simple debate where we say, but Harry Reid and the president's position was, they thought it was more important for Planned Parenthood to get your tax dollars, Greg, than it was to properly fund our troops and fund our troops on time. I think that's a ridiculous position, but that's the position the Democrats always take. Think about that position, particularly after we saw the videos. So that's what's frustrating. You need to be able to pick that issue. I happen to think it was the refugee issue, particularly a year ago, when we were in the same situation on the spending measure. And if we had attached that to the spending bill, an issue where 90% of the country says, yeah, you need to properly vet people before they enter this country, particularly when ISIS has said they're actively trying to exploit our refugee law to get bad guys here. That's how you have to do it. But Harry Reid seems to want to be able to always want to talk about a shutdown and shut the government down so they can get the kind of spending they want.
And Planned Parenthood did get more money through the Zika funding, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
They got the option, yeah, the possibility that they'll be able to get more. One of the concerns we had with this, but that's what's so frustrating, because we had an issue, a year ago where they were on video doing terrible things, caught on video, and we had a chance to restrict things then. Unfortunately, we didn't get it done.
Heading into Election Day, you can certainly make the case that on fiscal issues, if Democrats were in control, things could be a whole lot worse. But how strong do you think the GOP argument is on that front?
Well, I think the big argument is, I think the argument is good. I think the American people are so frustrated by the double standard they see. One set of rules for one set of laws, one standard for you and me and us regular working middle-class families, and a different standard for the politically connected like Hillary Clinton. We saw it this week when the FBI director came in and talked about all the unusual things that took place in this case. So the American people are so frustrated with that, and that's why I think you see such strong appeal for Donald Trump, particularly in our state of Ohio, where he's doing so well. It's because they know he's going to come in and shake up the system, which needs to happen. Right now we're in the, I think, very scary and concerning position of having a Justice Department that is much more focused on politics than they are on justice. And that's not supposed to be how it works. We're supposed to all be treated equally under the law. And I think that concern is coming through. And people are excited, I think, about Donald Trump here in Ohio, and that's going to give him a real chance to be the next president.
Last question, Congressman, on a slightly different topic. You have joined us a couple of times to talk about what you believe should be the impeachment of IRS Commissioner John Koskinen. That was headed to a vote earlier this month, and then ultimately there was a deal struck where there was a hearing in the Judiciary Committee that Koskinen was forced to appear at. But where do things stand now?
I think if there were a vote called in the Judiciary Committee, I think there are the votes there to impeach Mr. Koskinen. I really do. I'm hopeful that the chairman will call the vote when we get back. But again, this is the same issue we were just talking about. There are two standards, one for we the people and a different one for the politically connected. One for us regular folks and a different one if your name is Lois Lerner, John Koskinen, or Hillary Clinton. And that is wrong. John Koskinen, anyone in the private sector does what he does, the board will fire him as a CEO. Any person who's being audited by the IRS, you or I are getting audited by the IRS, and we have the same fact pattern that exists with Mr. Koskinen, we'd be in big trouble. But somehow it's okay because he's the handpicked guy by the President of the United States. That's not how it's supposed to work. So I think if there were the votes in the Judiciary Committee, we would win. And if we could win in the Judiciary Committee and move articles of impeachment, I think it would win on the House floor. So that's what we got to get is hopefully we can persuade Mr. Goodlatte, who did a good job chairing the hearing. But we want a vote in the committee because, like I said, I think we win.
Well, we'll see what his decision is once we get past the election. Congressman, thank you for your time. Be safe on the campaign trail, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Greg. Take care, buddy.
You bet, sir. Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan represents his state's 4th Congressional District. He is also chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.